If you're struggling in your career, business, or life, this podcast is for you. 9/11 survivor Ari Schoenbrunn shares inspiring interviews so you too can rise like a phoenix from the ashes to live your best life. Here's your host, Ari.
Welcome to Whispers and Bricks. My name is Ari Schoenbrunn. I am your host. Today we have an interesting young man. I consider him young because I'm a lot older than he is. His name is Josh Arye. And Josh is 34 years old. He lives in Lawrence, New York, as well as Manhattan. He is the CEO and founder of Lions View Development. And Josh has co-developed $250 million worth throughout the East Coast between 2018 and 2021. Now, in Josh's own words, he states, "I generally have a very full schedule each day, given my responsibilities. However, I always find time for the work which I find to be the most important and most rewarding of all, charity work. On my free time in the evenings or over the weekends, I dress up as Batman, complete with my car, which has been transformed into a Batmobile, to visit sick kids in hospitals or in outpatient treatment centers or at their homes after returning from a hospital stay. It started as a one-time favor, but when I saw how happy that first child was when I walked into the room, I decided right then and there that I would continue doing it. And I've since helped give out 30,000 plus toys to sick or underprivileged children. Pictures and videos from various events can be seen on social media, Batman Real Account, which has more than 100,000 followers, or via my organization's website, which is www.smilesthroughcars.com. Please help me welcome Josh Arye. Josh, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Hey, it's my pleasure. So good to see you. Okay, so let's get right into it here, my friend. Okay. One second. Here we go. All right. So Josh, as you know, the name of this podcast is Whispers and Bricks. The whispers are those voices telling you what is the right thing to do and represent the good in life. The bricks represent the bad things we go through in life. And let's get real. Everybody goes through some bad things in life. Everybody has a brick thrown at them at some point in time or another. Now, the format for this episode is going to be a little different than my normal format. It's going to be divided into two sections, actually. The first section, we're going to be talking about the whispers to which you have listened that led you to the amazing work that you do. The second section will be about the bricks that have you been hit with in your own life and how you managed to get through it. So let's get started. Now, I know there are many people in my audience who have gone through some of the situations that you have seen and dealt with. I'd like you to share with them how you started Smiles Through Cars, and I'd like you to tell them the story of that 8-year-old little girl that you conveyed to me earlier on.
All right, definitely. So when I was a younger boy, I grew up loving exotic cars. I had a passion for them, but I wasn't able to afford them when I was younger. And I developed relationships with people that either had memberships to car clubs or that owned these cars. And from time to time, they would allow me to borrow them just to go home, do errands for them, whatever it was. And one day I just had an idea. I said, the same way that I grew up having this passion and desire to go into these cars, there had to be sick and underprivileged children that had that same want or wish. So I started calling up all these different organizations saying, "Hi, my name is Josh Arye. I don't own the cars, but I have access to almost any exotic car in the world. If ever you have a child that makes a wish or wants to go in it, let me know." And I do this day after day, week after week. I thought it would be the simplest thing in the world. I never got a call back. Months went by before I got my first call. It was actually a friend of mine called me up saying that he knew of an 8-year-old girl who was battling stage 4 cancer. And she lived in Queens and she was coming home in between the chemo treatments. And her dream was to go in a Lamborghini. So I had a cousin of mine that lived in Great Neck who had a yellow Lamborghini from the car club he was a member of. And I called him up. I said, "Look, can I borrow the car for 2 days? This is what I want to do." He said, 100%. And, you know, I arranged a surprise with the family. and they bring out this little girl. And this was the moment that changed my entire life. Like, until that moment, my goal was to be on Forbes. I wanted to be one of the wealthiest people in the world, the biggest car collection, biggest houses, yachts. I wanted to be a billionaire. I wanted to be Bruce Wayne, not Batman. That's what my goal was. And after this, my entire life changed. And they bring out this little girl. She's in a wheelchair. She's looking down at the ground. She was all sad. And she looks up and she's this bright yellow Lamborghini in front of her house. And you see this entire child's face like lights up, the biggest smile you've ever seen. And I put the top down. We get her into the car, drove around for like 15, 20 minutes, get her back. They take tons of pictures. They put her in the wheelchair. And as soon as she gets in the inside the house, the mother starts hysterically crying, like nonstop bawling. And this was the first time I ever truly had like a one-on-one interaction with a child that was that sick. I was always involved with charity and helping people, but it was the first time I was one-on-one with a child with stage 4 cancer. So I looked at the mom. I said, if I did something or said something insensitive, like I thought maybe it was just something I said that, you know, made her upset. She goes, no, she goes, you don't understand. My daughter was diagnosed with cancer at the age of 4. She's had over 20 surgeries. She got an infection, which caused her to become paralyzed, which is why she was in this wheelchair. She said, this is the first time I've seen my daughter smile in 4 years since she was diagnosed with cancer. And for me at that moment, I said, if I could have such an impact with such a stupid thing, like I'm a huge car enthusiast, but at the end of the day, it's just a piece of metal, a piece of carbon fiber, or whatever the materials are. Like, it's a car. And I said, like, my entire life shifted from wanting to be a billionaire to saying, I need to figure out how I could potentially be wealthy enough to afford these types of things, but use them to give back to the community. And that's kind of how my mission started with that. And then as social media came out with Facebook and Instagram and all that, you know, growing to more than 100,000 followers, getting millions of views per year on the account, we get messages from people all around the world. So we've, you know, really expanded the organization. Now we do, I mean, we have volunteers all over, but let's say like Florida, Vegas, California, New York, even parts of the Middle East. And we visit tons and tons of children. So what was originally just my greatest passion ended up becoming my greatest pleasure. Like my mission really is just to make a difference in the world. It's, you know, I always say that kindness is free. It's something that everyone could afford to give. It could be as simple as holding the door open for somebody. Because I get a lot of messages from my followers saying, I don't own a Lamborghini. I don't own a Ferrari or a Porsche or whatever. You know, I can't do what you're doing. I said, you're right. You might not be able to do that, but it could be as simple as holding the door open for someone or smiling, saying good morning. You know, a kind deed is something that's done to someone else. You never know how big of an impact it has on that person. And that's really my mission, is just to get people to either inspire people or to bring hope to children and families in need. Even if I can't personally visit them, so we'll do FaceTime. You know, because of technology, there's so many more ways that you could do it, especially during the pandemic. We had to change our entire, if you want to call it business model or model that we implemented to visit the children. We had to change that because we couldn't do that during the pandemic. And I said, I'm not going to go for X period of time because we don't know how long this will last without visiting the children. So we had to completely restructure what we were doing to enable us to still achieve our goals, but change in the ways that we were originally planning to do it. And I think that's the most important thing in life. It's, you can't control the cards you're dealt, but you can control how you choose to play those cards. And that's really an important thing. You know, no one could make your day good or bad. It's how you internalize it and how you react to it. It's not that you can't ever get sad, you can't ever get upset, but don't let someone else define how your day is going to be or who you are. A lot of people like to say negative things about people, but a lot of that comes from the fact that they themselves are in a negative place, and you can't let them define who you are. And you can't let that negativity bring you down. You have to surround yourself with positive people, which is what I try to do with the organization. It's not just a volunteer. We want people that truly care about the children.
You're quite a young man. You really, really are. I mean, you're bringing me to tears, actually. I can't imagine, you know, the effort, the hours, the, you know, what you're putting into this in order to accomplish your goals here. And it's so refreshing, you know, when you hear about somebody who, yeah, maybe he wanted to be the richest guy on the planet, but, you know, was turned around because of a simple deed. And what you're doing is just is so amazing. And you're very, very, you're a very wise boy at the age of 34. But let me now ask you this, okay? Can you share with my audience maybe some of the bricks that you've been dealt with in your own life and how you managed to get through it?
Yeah, definitely. So I personally, I had a younger sister actually that unfortunately passed away. She was studying abroad for the year. And when she came home, she had a little bit of a cold. She didn't feel well and she went to the doctor. The doctor said she was fine. And I remember waking up one day to the paramedics inside my house. It was like 8 a.m. on a Sunday morning and waking up to the paramedics and everything, all the commotion going on. And unfortunately, she just had severe difficulty breathing and she was turning cyanotic, like she was turning blue. And they had to take her to the hospital and eventually they had to induce a coma and intubate her. And within 7 days, she passed away. It ended up being she had a horrible staph infection. But because of the fact that at the time, thank God, she was an 18-year-old child with no medical conditions, no medical history, no medications, because her immune system was so strong, it was trying to fight it off and they couldn't identify what that issue was. So they couldn't treat it. And by the time they figured out what it was, the infection spread throughout all of her organs and there was just nothing they could do. So unfortunately, the whole thing from start to finish was 7 days. And that was my only younger sibling and the only girl in my family. So that was an extreme, you know, blow, if you want to call it, to the family. When something like that happens, it's never easy to lose someone, but when it's a sudden passing, it's even worse, especially an 18-year-old, you know, that's when their life is just beginning. So that was, you know, something that really impacted me. And thank God I have a very, very close family. You know, my siblings, parents, aunts, uncles, you know, I have a great support system, but there's a lot of people in the world that go through similar situations that don't have that support system. So the combination with the experience that I had with that child and seeing my own experience of being in the hospital day after day, spending your entire life there, you know, willing to give up anything you have just to, you know, potentially save her or for someone else that has cancer to see them happy. And I realized that if I could have that impact and be the person that people need you to be, then that's what I want to do with my life. And that's kind of how I got into it because there are so many people suffering, especially during the pandemic. I mean, the amount of anxiety and depression and loneliness that people have because of this, you know, way before, you know, forget about cancer and all that, just this alone, you know, picking up the phone and calling a neighbor, calling a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, a friend, someone that might be older and is single, right? There are tons of people that are in their 50s, 60s that don't have children, that never got married, don't have a significant other. You know, there's a lot of people in this world that might not have cancer or some illness that you see, but there's a lot of other illnesses that people have or issues that they're going with that you can make that impact. And that's kind of the main thing is that we all have our own bricks in life. We all have our issues. I mean, there are tons of others that we had. You know, I wasn't born rich, you know, so there's a lot that people could have. You know, when people look at the social media account and they say, well, look at that car, look at this, look at that. I'm like, that might be, but what about all the heartache that the person had to get to that point to get the car? What about all the chances that they took, the sleepless nights that they worked on projects that didn't even end up happening? You know, not knowing if you're even going to be successful and you took a gamble and saying, you know what, I'm going to give it all and work and try. And so they just see now, but they don't look at what took to get to that point or, you know, while in this point, what we're working towards or, you know, because there's no one in the world that has a perfect life. You could have the wealthiest guy in the world. They still have problems. Everyone has their bricks, but a lot of people don't want to talk about the bricks because they're afraid. They think it makes them worse, but I think it actually shows their character. You know, like I said, you can't control the cards you're dealt, but with the bricks and stuff you have, you figure out how to make life better.
So let me ask you this. Did you ever get to a point, because you talked about, you know, deals that may have gone south or whatever, did you ever get to a point in your life, in your young life, let me put it that way, okay, where you actually said to yourself, you know what, I can't do this anymore. It's too hard. It's not worth it. I'm just going to give up on my dreams. I mean, did you ever get to that point at some point? And if you did, how did you get through that? What did you do in order to get through that?
Yeah. So, I mean, first of all, when I first started off doing some real estate, I started, you know, working for a company doing some management, but I was also trying to do brokerage or, you know, as an agent to try to get additional money. And I have to say, at least my first 1,000 deals, like literally more than 1,000 deals that I tried, didn't work out. Like some of them, we got to the table, like as exciting as it would be to get to the table, both parties are there and they couldn't work it out. Like there was one property I was trying to sell. It was downtown Manhattan. I think they wanted 70 million. Their asking was 70 something. They actually wanted 70. And the person offered like 68.5. And eventually they were willing to come down and the deal was going to go through and I would make 1%. So I was going to get about $685,000 for that deal. It was going to be my commission. But at the end, they ended up coming down to 68 million. So they were $500,000 short on what the actual offer was. That, like, that's how small the discrepancy was between the two sides. And neither of them were willing to budge because of pride. And I said to them, I said, look, you're paying me $685,000 commission. Keep my 500, give me 185, get the deal done. And that's it. And he said, no, I want him paying the $500,000. So then I went to the other, said, look, I'm willing to get this deal done. I know you don't want to pay more than 68. I'm getting paid 685. I'll write you a check 500. At the closing, you get it back and I'll make 185. He goes, no, not, I don't want the guy to get 68.5. I'm willing to do 68. Both sides didn't do it. The deal fell through. Imagine, I mean, I was really young, but I mean, that's a lot of money for anybody. And it's just, so there's been a lot of heartache that gone through. And so in terms of that, like, I've never felt like giving up because every, if you want to call it, I don't call it a failure. I call it a bump in the road. Cause I think the way that I define failure is when you quit. You know, I don't say that I've ever failed. I figured out a lot of ways it didn't work. And that was really my mentality with when I was doing that. It's, this didn't work out. I'm that much closer to being successful. And again, and again, and you know, how could I learn from what was happening? But at the same time, my motivation wasn't to be that billionaire anymore. My motivation was to be able to make that impact. So I wasn't even motivated to become successful for myself. I wanted to be successful because my goal every year, like everyone has a New Year's resolution, you know, they want to go to the gym. They want to, my goal every year was either to donate more money than the year before or to be able to make more of an impact on the world. You know, if I couldn't afford to donate money, I could donate my time. I could make, and that's all I wanted to do. So my motivation to become what you want to call successful was other people's lives were motivating me to do it. So even on the nights where I literally didn't go to bed, like I would be up from Monday to Wednesday trying to work on a deal and, you know, crunch the numbers and do that. I would say, you know what, I'm exhausted, but I'm doing this for the other people. Like this isn't about me. So it gave me that extra motivation to be able to push through it, you know, because I wanted to be able to help other people. Like I think the thing that bothers me the most is that even though I'm doing a great job, I'm limited with how much I can donate, right? You can only give, let's say, a certain percentage of what you have. You know, if I had $100 billion, I would love to save the world and do that, but I don't. I'm not that level. And that's, you know, the only thing that bothers me in life is that I'm limited with what I could do with money. You know, I would love to be able to, you know, see struggling families and buy them their clothing, buy them their food, buy them, you know, anonymously. I don't need recognition. But that's the only thing in my life, if I would want to change, is somehow be able to do that. But other than that, I don't think I've ever really failed because I don't quit. You know, I found certain things that don't work for me, right? I'm not a rocket scientist. I'll never be. That's just something it's not meant to be, but I'm good at certain things. And that's really what people have to do because there's so many reality TV shows that are out there and it's all about keeping up with, you know, fill in the blank. But, you know, I think what a lot of people struggle with is they're always trying to be like everyone else instead of being the best version of you, right? I'm not the tallest. I'm not the best looking. I'm not the richest. I'm just a normal guy with a big heart, but that's who I am. And I think people have to learn to accept that and embrace that because it'll make you a much happier person as opposed to always trying to be and keep up with everyone else. So, you know, that's definitely my mentality in life.
It's amazing. You know, I always tell people, and you hit the nail on the head. You know, I don't care how rich you are. We've all got the same issues. They just might be on different levels. Like, you know, I try and figure out what kind of car I can afford to buy, right? And my boss, my ex-boss, all right, he used to try and figure out what kind of a jet can he buy. You know what I'm saying? So he has the same problems that I do. They're just on a different level. So don't think just because you've got a lot of money or just because you see somebody who has a lot of money that they've got it all figured out, because chances are they don't. And chances are they've got the same problems that you have, just on a different level. It's, you know, you're amazing. Okay. Let me ask you this, because let's wind down. I want to ask you, if people want to get in touch with you, what would be the best way for them to do that?
Sure. So either they could message us on our website, which is smilesthroughcars.com, or if they use social media on Instagram, it's at Batman Real Account. And they could send us a message. And sometimes it takes a little bit of time to catch up with the messages, but we will respond within a couple of days.
Wow, that's great. That's terrific. Josh, thanks so much for sharing your story with my audience. It was truly amazing. You're an amazing young man, and I know you're going to accomplish so much in your lifetime. Good luck going forward. Keep doing what you're doing. You've been listening to Whispers and Bricks, and I'm your host, Ari Shoman. Until next time, listen
to
the
Whispers. So that's it for today's episode of Whispers and Bricks.
Give up.
Head on over to iTunes and subscribe to the show. One lucky listener every single week that posts a review on iTunes will win a chance in the grand prize drawing to win a $25,000 private VIP day with Ari himself. Be sure to head on over to whispersandbrickspodcast.com and pick up a free copy of Ari's gift and join us on the next episode. So that's it for today's episode of Whispers and Bricks. Head on over to iTunes and subscribe to the show. One lucky listener every single week that posts a review on iTunes will win a chance in the grand prize drawing to win a $25,000 private VIP day with Ari himself. Be sure to head on over to whispersandbrickspodcast.com and pick up a free copy of Ari's gift and join us on the next episode. So that's it for today's episode of Whispers and Bricks. Head on over to iTunes and subscribe to the show. One lucky listener every single week that posts a review on iTunes will win a chance in the grand prize drawing to win a $25,000 private VIP day with Ari himself. Be sure to head on over to whispersandbrickspodcast.com and pick up a free copy of Ari's gift and join us on the next episode. So that's it for today's episode of Whispers and Bricks. Head on over to iTunes and subscribe to the show. One lucky listener every single week that posts a review on iTunes will win a chance in the grand prize drawing to win a $25,000 private VIP day with Ari himself. Be sure to head on over to whispersandbrickspodcast.com and pick up a free copy of Ari's gift and join us on the next episode. So that's it for today's episode of Whispers and Bricks. Head on over to iTunes and subscribe to the show. One lucky listener every single week that posts a review on iTunes will win a chance in the grand prize drawing to win a $25,000 private VIP day with Ari himself. Be sure to head on over to whispersandbrickspodcast.com and pick up a free copy of Ari's gift and join us on the next episode.